Codewinds, Episode 5. Saul Maddox joins me to discuss his Happy Ninja boilerplate, which helps you get up and running with Happy quickly and easily. Along the way, we discuss Swig templates, Gulp, and of course, our favorite Node Web framework from Walmart Labs, Happy. Welcome to the Codewinds podcast, where we cover leading-edge web developer news and training, with an emphasis on Node, JavaScript, and HTML5. My name is Jeff Barczewski, and I am here to help you navigate the winds of change. In this episode, Saul Maddox, the Poetic Ninja, joins me for a great discussion about his Happy Ninja boilerplate project. This project makes it real easy to get up and running with the Node web framework, Happy, by wiring up common things you'll want for your project and providing a nice structure for your files. The project uses Swig templates, Gulp, and a few plugins, which we discuss in more detail. If you're looking for a great way to get started with Happy or are interested in some best practices, then I think you'll enjoy this episode. The links and show notes for this podcast are available at codewinds.com/5, as in episode 5, where I have all the links and keynotes from the interview, so you can refer to them later. Let's get started. Today, I am talking with Saul Maddox. He's a senior front-end developer for Novatech Solutions. And he's shortly been moving to Pros Pricing, where he'll be rebuilding the customer service portal. So, hello, Saul.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Just enjoying a nice day. Ready for a podcast.
Excellent. Yeah. So today we're called you so we could talk about your Happy Ninja boilerplate. So tell me a little bit about what Happy Ninja boilerplate is.
Happy Ninja, the boilerplate, is just a server example for people to learn off of from experiences that I've had. I've learned that open source is a great thing. I've learned a lot from other people, and I noticed there weren't a whole lot of examples with the Happy JS server framework, and I knew that was something I could contribute to. There was a personal project that I was working on, and I needed to do it. I was trying out Express instead of the normal just going stock Node or even doing Happy. I've tried it before, but I ended up switching from Express to Happy, or back to Happy, once I had some issues with Express. It wasn't very robust as much as the stuff that I used. I've worked with Symfony 2, a PHP framework, and there are a lot of things that I was missing. And the more and more I dove into the code with Happy JS, I realized that a lot of the things that I'd been using in previous server frameworks that weren't on Node could easily be built in and on the HappyJS framework. And so the goal was just to, one, help other people out so they could see how easy HappyJS is to use, but on top of that, be able to solve some problems for other developers so that way they could see that Node is a commercial product. It's not just the big guys, but you could use it for a normal website as well. So that was the main goal.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, I agree. When I used to use Express as well, it's quite a bit to just bolt together to get ready to really start doing the real work. And so when I tried Happy, I was pretty surprised in how easy it was just to kind of get things set up and configure a few things and you're up and going. You don't have to bring in a bunch of other modules and it was ready to go. And it sounds like that your boilerplate even makes that even simpler beyond that. So,
yeah, I've tried to make sure that there is on my hurdle to learn Node, there are things that I had to overcome and realize. And so just looking at other people's boilerplates and Express and there was things that I wasn't even happy with on other people's boilerplates. I'm pretty picky. I think naming conventions, extremely important. Folder structure, these are things that you have to live with in a project. And so I was very confident in making the decision to have a boilerplate that was be able to use by other people. I spent quite a few hours just sitting on just little things such as, like, you know, where the folder structure should go and naming. It's important. You live with it. It's your code.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so all those hours that you put into it, thinking through things and picking out the stack is just going to help other people get going. So that's that's great. So go ahead.
I've been helped by many other people and when it comes to the open source code. So it's kind of like the least I could do.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Yeah, I know what you mean. So, so let's get into the stack. So tell me a little bit about this this boilerplate and what you're using.
So the stack is it's based on Node. Everybody loves Node, a JavaScript server or framework that can be used for many things. But Happy is great by Walmart Labs. That's the actual server framework. It handles a lot of features that other frameworks don't handle. The routing is amazing. The built-in cache options are great. The plugin system is great as well, and I've definitely taken advantage of that. And for the templates, you have the Swig templating engine. It looks a lot like HTML. There's some other great ones, such as Jade. Somebody mentioned, Nunjux, I believe, is another one I've tried. But I kind of fell in love with Swig. We use a Twig at work. Twig is a PHP syntax, so when I go home or when I'm coding on Node, it's just an easy transition. So when it comes to the CSS files or the framework, there a lot of people will choose Bootstrap or even Foundation. I've used both. I think a person should be able to choose their own CSS framework. It's one of the nicest things about using Node is you can pick what you want. There's so many templating engines for the front end. You have many CSS frameworks, and a lot of boilerplates kind of tie you down. I almost didn't want to put the templated engine even as Swig and just have people plug it in, but I thought it would be great to have as an example starting point. The task runner to handle your assets is Gulp, Gulp.js. I've tried Grunt and I've used it. It's great. I was blown away at the performance of Gulp and how easy it was to get started. I won't be switching back anytime soon, probably. So yeah, so that's kind of the stack. And so just all right. To get started, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so let's dive into each of those a little bit more, because I think those are great choices. So obviously Happy we've talked about on podcast episode 2, and actually now now we're in, I think it's version 3 already.
Yeah.
The versions are going fast. So I think the switch from 2 to 3 wasn't too big of a change, but I actually have to go back and look at that myself and see what's all in there.
It was pretty easy. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Walmart guys.
Yeah. So, but anyway, the so let's see. Okay. So Happy. We talked about Happy in the past. So let's talk about Swig a little bit. So that's your that's a template engine you've chosen and you like. And obviously, you said you can switch it out pretty easily. And I think it does make a good opportunity if you have it in there. That makes it easy for someone to customize and take. To switch to something so that they at least know where to hook it in and all that. So that makes it easy. But tell me a little bit about Swig. I actually have not used Swig, so I'd like to learn a little more about that.
Okay. Swig uses the handlebars looking feel to the syntax. The number one thing that I actually really like about Swig is the template inheritance. If you actually look at the boilerplate, you can see the code. It mimics the Twig syntax, which is for PHP. The performance of it's extremely fast. I wouldn't switch out for anything else, really. I don't really know what to tell you besides that.
Okay.
A lot of logical stuff you can use, such as ifs and for loops, and that way, for on the front end, you can show things or hide things based off certain parameters. So yeah.
Okay. And so it is, you know, it's a mustache like handlebars like syntax,
yes.
I guess. Okay. And how does this template inheritance work? So then, just kind of in a nutshell, what do you do to use that?
Right now, how you can, some templating engines are very basic. All they are just spit out, you know, variables. That's all it does. Almost just a print. But one of the nice things you can use is, let's say you have a base file that's your main template, and then all of those can actually use those. So you don't have to keep on reusing your code. Jade's the same way, just a different syntax. So I'm a huge fan of Jade for that. The Swig looks like HTML, so it makes it easier. But the inheritance, you can use includes as well as just using another template. So maybe based off of a certain situation, when a person lands on a certain page, you could actually include a different piece of content if something, you know, changes, or maybe the person's logged in. And so those are things that are very beneficial for the end user as well as the developer, making it easy so you don't have to write as much.
Okay, that sounds great. I'm going to have to look at that more closely. That's sounds like a great great feature set. All right, so then after Swig, then you mentioned Gulp. And
yes.
So let's talk about Gulp. I know that I've used Grunt in the past, and one of the things I thought was intriguing about Gulp was the whole streaming capability.
Yes.
That it can adapt and react to changes and that. So tell me a little bit about Gulp and why you like it.
Gulp is a task runner that I'm a huge fan of because you know, mainly the performance, the speed with the plugins being, or with it working on streams, it doesn't go into the way streams work. It handles memory a lot more efficient than just loading each file and then making changes and pulling it back out of memory and back into memory and back and forth. And so Gulp pretty much eliminates that, and just it's extremely performant. I was just baffled watching files do live reloading with Gulp made me grin. And so big fan of that. The ecosystem, the plugins are great. There's a lot of plugins already for Grunt, and that some a lot of them have already been ported over to Gulp. But at the same time, if you need to use Grunt for whatever reason, you can actually, you can plug Grunt right into Gulp and have it run stuff. All in all, Grunt and Gulp are great weapons for any developer. I'm just a big fan of Gulp specifically. So yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I've been wanting to check out Gulp because I've heard a lot of good things, and I really like the streaming aspect of that. And I didn't know that you could actually fire off some Grunt from Gulp. So that so
yes.
I guess if
yeah.
if something was missing, then you could use that.
It'll be there. Yep.
Until somebody creates a native one or something. But yeah, that's great. So. Yeah, and I can imagine, you know, just the way things, by not having to, like you said, buffer everything into memory and then wait till everything's done before you do the next task, I can imagine that can really speed things up. I mean, it's the whole Node.js evented model, you know, that we talk about, so.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so that's Gulp. And then as for, you said for a CSS framework, you mentioned on your website that that would be something that a person can choose. And I mean, if you want to use one, you can use Less or Sass or something like that and plug that right into the stack. But
exactly.
But the boilerplate doesn't provide that one. That's one of those that you can choose if you want.
Yes.
Okay. And so then to get started with your stack, then what's the process? What would someone do? What's a new user supposed to do to take advantage of this?
First, just make sure you have Node installed on your computer. I've tested this boilerplate out on Windows, Linux, and Mac just to make sure that there weren't any issues. But you just make sure Node is installed. Download the GitHub repo, put it in a folder, run npm install, and then run Node server, and immediately it works. My biggest deal was making sure the barrier to entry was as low as possible so people can just get started understanding a little bit more about Happy, as well as kind of feel more comfortable with Node. So after there are a lot of people with Node, when they're just getting started, they don't realize that if they make any changes, they need to restart the server. And so it was one of the things right when I first started Node, I was like, wait a second, where are my changes? Oh, let me turn it off, turn it back on. I was like, all right, so now I need to have a file watcher. And so there's a couple out there. I've used Node Supervisor. I've also used NodeMon. Or NodeDaemon, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Both of those are great file watchers that'll restart your server. On the Happy Ninja GitHub page, you can it shows you how to use Supervisor for a person who's new to Node, maybe coming from PHP. They can try it out and have the server running and reload every time they do a change. So,
okay, great. So that so just by firing that up, then it'll watch changes and rerun things and restart the server and everything. So that's great.
Yep.
Okay. So then once you've got this ready to run, then first I guess let's go into your structure a little bit. So what do we have in the boilerplate and where things go?
So there are mainly two primary folders in your server for a Happy Ninja boilerplate. You have your public and you have your server. I'm a big fan of them being separate because they really are separate. I've seen in many other frameworks, a little bit older, that the public folder was deep down into it. And for a front-end guy who's going into work on your project, it's like, wait a second, I don't need to know all of your stuff. Let me go ahead and just play around with the public stuff, the HTML, the CSS, the JavaScript. And so I do believe those should be completely separate. So in your main folder, you have your public and your server. There is a temporary folder. If you have, maybe you're using the CSS preprocessor SAS, you can have it dump some temporary files into that folder. Right now, there are logs using Happy's logging system. The logs are getting spit out into the temp folder. So if you want to see kind of how your server's been going, you can check that out. But there's a main server file that you can just run, and that'll pull up all the, and that's actually in the base directory. Inside the server, you have a couple things. Public's pretty easy. Those are your base front-end stuff. But the server, you have a configure folder, the controllers, your models, and your views. And so you'd keep those separate just to make it easy. The models actually end up getting pulled in automatically based off of the route or based off of... your controllers get pulled in. All of your controllers get pulled in from the your routes configure file. So you don't have to specifically pull in each controller individually. So that you have your configure folder as well. Configure folder is pretty much everything server related, settings, plugins you want to initialize for Happy, logging, you want to change the directory, send it someplace else. So that's kind of the basic idea of the structure.
All right. Okay. Sounds great. So it's a pretty nice, simple structure. It's easy to find your way around in there. And then I guess the gulpfile.js is where you configure gulp, and it's
yes.
Just and instead of being some kind of a DSL style, it's really just JavaScript, so that's kind of a nice thing to use.
Yeah. The plugin, there's a couple plugins that I've set up for this project because I wanted to make assets easier on the front end as well as being able to access it on the back end, because assets are, it's funny how assets are not really based off of the server because they're on the front end, but at the same time, they still have to kind of change based off whatever the server is doing. And so there's an assets plugin we can go into that I believe is extremely important. So that way it minifies and concatenates all the files if you're actually running in production. So.
Excellent.
And that's based off of the gulp. So, yeah.
Okay. So let's just talk about that a little bit. So how does that work? So it's assets are in, you says assets in the assets.js file.
Just a simple assets.js file. So okay. It's you list out any assets you have in there for that you want to be shown in development, and then you list them out how you want them to be shown in production. Gulp will end up actually taking everything into development and minifying it into the production. So whenever you run Gulp, it'll automatically put those however you need. The development side is going to be printed out using Twig, the templating engine. It's actually going to print all of your CSS files and all your JavaScript files. It's not minified. It's just the base, hey, this is development. And then if you go to production, it'll use Twig to print out the production CSS and JavaScript. And so you can just print that assets.js, and it'll, based off of which environment you're running, it'll actually print out the right assets on the front end. So that way you don't have to, you know, that way it's not separate. So you can actually manage your assets properly. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, sounds great. And how does it, so when you're running in production, how is that designated? Is that by the node env environment
yes.
variable? Okay.
Yeah, it goes off of that. So maybe you have an environment that is test. Maybe you have a test environment. You could actually, using the assets plugin, if in the assets file, assets.js file, you can say test, and then you could also do JS and CSS and do other stuff. So it's going to be off of the node environment.
Okay, perfect. Sounds great. So another plugin I see you've listed in your README is the Happy Named Routes. So how's that work?
The Happy Named Routes. So in large websites, some of the issues that you can run into, because I've done websites for a lot of marketing people, a named route is a lot easier than hard coding a route. So a lot of people just hard code their routes into the menu system. I'm against that. In Symfony 2, a PHP framework, they have named routes. And so you can actually just print, you can type in the name and it'll give you that route. So if all of a sudden somebody in the back end says, we need to change our route for SEO purposes, or that means I have to go through the whole website. And if you're talking about a 600-page website, you're doing a lot of, that's a lot of changes when it could be in one spot. And so the Happy Named Route, what it does is on your routes, you can name it, pretty simple. And then from there, you just in Twig on the front end, or in Jade or any other templating language you can use, just put in path.about, and then immediately it'll know that that is the route based off of the controller. So you don't have to worry about screwing up the routes, changing things, or putting in the wrong path. It's done in one spot.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I can see that. I can see how that would be great for making it easy to change things, and then not having to go back through all the code and HTML or whatever and update all those things. So if they're all living in one spot, then it makes it easy to change in the future, and you've got one place to go. So
yes,
sounds great. I guess another plugin that you've used is the Happy Cache Buster. So what does that do?
It's a little plugin. It's very simple. So on the front end, when you have CSS files or JavaScript files and you change them, but you don't change the name, it ends up screwing up what your customer is seeing if all of a sudden you make changes and you say, well, okay, reload it. Let me go ahead and clear the cache, then reload it. And so those aren't things you want to handle. That's not a conversation you want to tell your customer when you're building their site. So Happy Cache Buster, what it does is it'll go off the package version for your node application. So it goes to the package.json file and it gets the version of your application, and it actually prints that on the end of any assets you want. So you on the very end of any asset, all you have to do is put asset, I believe, cache on the end in the Twig variable. And then so it'll just pull it in, and Happy will automatically take care of it. It pulls the right file, and you don't have to worry about So if you need your cache broken or busted, you need to bust your cache, then you just increase your package number by one. And so you can also, if you don't want to go by package, your package file number, you can actually designate a string to change it as well. So,
all right, sounds good. Yeah, definitely, definitely something that you, when you're sitting there trying to figure out, or when you're deploying new code and you're working with it, you don't want to be have the cache being in your way. So sometimes when you're developing, it's a pain. So
yeah, it is.
So all right. So then the folder structure we talked about was the public and the server folder, keeping things separate there. Front end stuff goes in public, and server has the server side.
Yes.
So, and then you talk a little bit here about when you want to change from a full front end app like PhoneGap to a front end and server app, and you can keep the structure the same. So explain that a little bit more.
So I've done a lot of different websites, different styles. Some are just simple, single page applications single page, just a couple little pages, or a single page application to, or something a little more complex. And the folder structure, I always felt should be separate from the front end to the back end. Because if all of a sudden I want to use this boilerplate for something, whether it be for a PhoneGap application, I should be able to use that, not have to, let me rename my folders and move things around so that way it suits, how I would work in, because I'm not using the server, I'm actually doing it differently. So by having them, here's your public folder, here's your server folder. If all of a sudden somebody wanted to say, completely change out the public folder, they could, or, change the CSS, or, right now you could actually just delete the public folder and put your own stuff there and it would still work fine. And then same thing with the server, is just, it's an amazing, just simple little server. So it keeps them separate. Separation of concern is important. So,
awesome. All right. So what else have I forgotten that we should talk about for people that want to get started with your boilerplate?
Just the biggest deal, I've put a lot of comments in the code. So when people are reading, I encourage them to actually read the comments and take advantage of the things that I've, stumbled across or learned, because there's no reason that we can't be learning on top of each other a lot faster. So definitely read all the code comments. You might learn some things that you weren't expecting. I know I have by reading other people's comments. And besides that, just play around with it. Build a little website. Change some of the view templates up a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds great. Yeah. And I guess one other question I thought about while you were talking there was the upgrade to Happy 3.0. What did that entail? Was it fairly easy?
Yeah, I was actually sweating. No, I'm just kidding. It was easy. I think I changed the version numbers was the hardest part I did.
Okay.
So I made sure the plugins worked. I made sure there weren't any issues, but I probably spent 15 minutes going through it, once I 15 minutes to do it, and about 30 minutes of just playing around, testing, making sure there weren't any issues. But the way the Walmart Labs guys are handling the new the versioning, they're trying not to make a whole bunch of breaking changes, just making it simple and streamlined and easy. So my hat's off to them again. Yeah, so yeah, it was easy.
That's
no problems.
Great. Sounds good. That sounds good. Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. So all right, so then are you accepting contributions if people come up with some good ideas or how to improve your the project?
Yeah, the biggest deal is I think a Happy JS originally it's kind of for a great API based framework, but looking at it, comparing it to other frameworks, I actually think it's one of the most superior web servers to handle front-end dynamic content, serving up the actual views. I would say if people can come up with new ideas, new plugins, or new solutions to maybe some old problems that they've seen, like I have, and bring it to the table so that way everybody can take advantage of it. See what you can, if you have ideas, and help out. Yeah,
that sounds great. Yeah, I'm a big proponent of the open source and contributing back too. I think that's I've learned so much myself from looking at open source, and so it's
yes,
you know, it's really it's a wonderful thing to be able to share and help each other. And I think this is a great, you know, a great project to get people going, if they're, especially if they're trying to learn Happy. And like you, I really like Happy myself and want to get the word out about it. I think it is one of the best frameworks I've seen. And I really like what the Walmart guys have been doing with that. And it's fun stuff, fun, exciting.
Yes, it is.
Good technology. And so let's see, what else, what other kind of projects are you interested in these days, or the things that you're looking at, or things that you might want to mention to the audience?
Yeah. I'm actually going to be, hopefully, I've been working on a personal project, side project, for a couple months now, and hopefully in the next month or two, I'll have it released. It's called Everstain, E-V-E-R-S-T-A-I-N, two words. But that's kind of how I really started falling in love with Node. Is I really wanted to, once I played around with it, I knew that it was a good fit for the project. But it's a website about being remembered. For being remembered for when we're alive, as well as when we pass away. It's kind of like a legacy website. So just look out for it. It's not out yet. Hopefully in the next month or two, I will have it out. So it'd be everstain.com. I'm excited. I have a nice graphic designer worked up a great logo and some good stuff. And so I'm looking forward to having that out. So that's kind of my passion project.
Yeah, awesome. So it will be everstain.com?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Everstain.
Great. Okay. Awesome. And any other projects that that you think that would be good for us to review on CodeWinds in the future?
Not off the top of my head. I think it'd be interesting to have maybe even the guy who and Swig, I think it's Paul Armstrong. You could see if he'd want to do, because I know I'm a big fan of open source, and he's definitely helped out a lot on the Swig project and giving back to the community. So I definitely maybe consider looking into somebody like that for just kind of on the front end. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. And how should people, if they want to keep in touch or keep follow you, what's the best way to do that, and where should I lead them?
You can find me on GitHub at Poetic Ninja, P-O-E-T-I-C-N-I-N-J-A, and also on Twitter, Poetic Ninja. So follow me. I'm a big fan of other developers sharing. So that's my biggest thing is share with me. I'll share back. Let's see how we can help each other become better developers.
All right, Saul. I appreciate you taking the time today. It's a great interview, and I'm glad to learn more about your boilerplate and all the other projects you're working on. And just thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. It was a pleasure. I'm glad I could be on.
All right. Thanks. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of CodeWinds with Saul Maddox. I would love to hear what you think about this interview or the technologies we discussed. Happy Ninja, Swig, and Gulp. Head over to codewinds.com/5 and leave me a message. If you would like to subscribe to this podcast, there are buttons near the top of the show notes where you can subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and RSS. Also, if you would like to help others find this podcast, please give a quick rating on iTunes. And that will help boost our visibility in the iTunes directory. Until next time, this is Jeff Barczewski with CodeWinds. Music by Audionautix.com.